Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Thanks for coming along here, the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Joel Breesky. Mike Kapler is with me. Together, we've been doing this podcast for quite some time. Thankful that you're coming along and joining in as we have our weekly conversation here on the Growing in Grace podcast. And that's really all that this is. It's two guys talking, having a conversation. In my mind, We're nobodies. We're just.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Yeah, you're something. Okay, so it's me. It's me. I'm nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandparents, my parents, they were always saying,
"Be somebody.
You're something else.
Oh, you're something. You're something else." And so, just take us for what you will. We're having a conversation about the grace of God. Hey, you know, a few weeks ago, I mentioned some other podcasts that I listen to because it varies from time to time on what I do. Sometimes when I'm at work, I like listening to. I've got more time. We were just talking before we got on the air here that we talked about earbuds, and I've been using earbuds at work and been able to listen to a little bit more than what I used to. Back when I was a driver, I would listen to stuff all the time, but now I'm working in a warehouse and by myself and can do whatever I want on my, you know, listen to whatever I want. And so I talked about some things I listen to. And just recently, Corinne Kintzler, who has a podcast called Grace at Last, really good podcast. And she mentioned on Facebook to me that she's in one of her upcoming podcasts, which by now, by the time this airs, she will have already done this, but she said she was going to mention some people, including us, that she's inspired by or that are helpful to her. I can't remember how she worded it. And so I thought, you know what? I want to mention her, too, because I really do like her podcast, and I forgot to mention it when I mentioned those other podcasts that I listened to. So a good one is Grace at Last by Corinne Kintzler. If you're looking for other things to listen to that are along the lines of, you know, talking about God's grace and his love and the new covenant. And, oh, by the way, I think the first time I heard of Corinne, it was, I think, a year or two ago. She was actually very new into the podcasting world. She had, I heard her as a guest on the Unsunday show with Mike Adams. And I started listening. I remember listening. I think she had done around seven or so podcasts at that time. I'm not sure. And she did some talks about James that really are close to the way that you and I see things, Cap.
There are so many different perspectives in which you can gain some great information that will, you know, change your life, develop the goodness of God in your heart. And I mean, sometimes even we find ourselves after doing this all of these years, Joel, we find ourselves talking, and I mentioned this recently, but talking about similar topics, for lack of a better word, subject matters related to the gospel of grace. But after all these years of doing it, there's just, we never get tired of talking about it, number one. And number two, when you do go to talk about certain things over and over again, or similar things at least, there's always just a different little tweak or twist, a different perspective, a different way of looking at things that may just put you over the top on something that has been bothering you or something that you've wrestled with or not understood properly. And that's just the spirit at work. Yeah. There's an example I'll give from last week's program, Joel. I'm 1 John, and I'm going to chapter 1. Something you mentioned, and it's the way you said it. Somehow I'm not in chapter 1. Hold on. This is live.
See, don't listen John to this 1. Guy. He doesn't know what he's doing.
I'm hitting my search button now. Play by play. Nah, seriously. Is it something? Oh, you know what? Something isn't working because I've got this message that says I'm not connected to the internet, but you're still hearing me.
I'm still hearing you. So this is definitely a spirit thing.
This is really weird because the website will not take me to where I want to go. So that's a bit of a downer. But so, and I don't know why. I heard before we came on, I heard a ding. Like, well, I wonder what that ding was. Well,
probably internal in your head.
The platform that we record on tells me I'm not connected to the internet. And yet when I look down below, I see, well, I'm on my internet network, but the website isn't working. Anyway, what you said something last week, when people get hung up with 1 John 1:9, and the religious Christian church has ruthlessly used this to coax people into feeling the need to confess all of their sins. Of course, nobody can do that. So usually we just throw out what I call the blanket prayer, where I can't remember everything, but here's some stuff, and just forgive me for everything. And this goes on and on and on, and it puts people in bondage. And it's just miserable. It was a miserable part of my life for years. But you pointed something out last week that it's not talking, and we've discussed this so many times, but you said something in a certain way on the last program regarding, let's just say, 1 John 1:8-10. You know, for somebody to say, I don't have any sin, well, the truth is not in you. You do have sin. And then it goes on to say, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then there's verse 10, which is reflecting back on what he just said, which says that there sin is a problem. Sin is there. It's not individual sins that he is requiring. That when John was writing this, he's not requiring, God's not requiring that we confess each and every sin in order to be forgiven, but in order to realize the need for a Savior, you must recognize that sin is a real thing. And you just said it in such a way, for those who want to go back and catch the last program, I just thought, I wonder how many light bulbs will come on for people who will recognize what you just said there. Because verse 10, John is speaking about what he said in verse 9, and it's not confessing each and every single sin. What a burdensome thing that the corporate church world has put on people in that way.
Yeah, and we hear from people all the time that this focus on sin, and what that understanding of 1 John does, you know, if a person has an understanding that John is talking about believers confessing their sins, it just puts our focus on sin all the time, when the whole purpose of this was to show the forgiveness that came through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness for our sins that came through Jesus Christ, not for us to focus on our sins. If you think that when John is saying, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, if you think that's for a believer to continually confess their sins, and then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. The believers don't say that. We don't say that we have not sinned. The reason we believed, or at least one reason we believed, is because we understood that sin was an issue and had to be dealt with, and that Jesus dealt with it. That's why we believe. So it's not something that a Christian, a believer, would do, but these are people who did not believe that sin was an issue. So yeah, you can go back and listen to that. But this whole idea gets people so focused on sin. In fact, I had posted something online and somebody commented on it. I had posted along this lines that a religious tradition teaches us to ask God for forgiveness, whether it's daily, weekly, after each known sin, or whatever. But the Bible doesn't teach anything like that. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So if God were to grant us forgiveness for every time we ask, blood would have to be shed each time. And that's why those repeated old covenant offerings for sin didn't work, because blood was shed over and over and over again. And all it did was, as Hebrews 10:3 says, it provided a reminder of sins. It could never take away sins. That's Hebrews 10:11. But Jesus shed his blood and offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. So the forgiveness for all sins that would ever be committed was provided by the one offering And that happened 2,000 years ago. It doesn't happen when you ask for forgiveness. There's no such thing in the scriptures, in the New Covenant writings, of asking for forgiveness. It just doesn't ever say that. It just says that there was one offering for all sins. And so somebody said, somebody commented, I wonder why we are taught this. It's because it's automatic for me. It's the first thing I say when I pray, Father, please forgive me. I guess for me, I feel I've sinned and done some horrific, willful sins that are detestable in God's eyes, as it says in the Bible, and I'm fighting for my life every day, that I feel like I'm being punished and ask for forgiveness over and over and over again. See, that's what this focus on sin and asking for forgiveness and not understanding the once-for-all forgiveness that we receive through that one sacrifice. That's what that does. It causes people to feel horrible, like God is against them, like he's punishing them, and they just need to ask for forgiveness over and over and over again, and they just feel like they're always committing horrible sins, and there's no way out because God's always against them. And so I tried to provide some encouragement. I said, it's unfortunate that that's what so many of us were taught, because we weren't taught the full value of the cross and the finished work of Jesus. And by that, I'm, you know, the full value of the cross, that one sacrifice that took away all sins, and the finished work of Jesus. That's where our sins were taken away, not just covered, not just put in a corner somewhere for God to bring them back out sometime, but they were done away with and taken away. So in the church, we were taught to focus on our sins, when through the cross, our sins were actually taken away. And God says he remembers them no more. God doesn't remember them anymore. And so what can we do to remedy this faulty understanding that we've been taught? We can transfer our thinking to the point that we remember that when we've committed some, and I used his own words, that when we've committed some horrific, willful sins, Jesus already previously committed a much bigger sacrifice that was sufficient to take away not only our own horrible sins, but all the sins ever committed by all of humanity. And of course, we can purposely remember that God purposely chose to not remember our sins anymore. So it's a change in our thinking. Really, this confession of sin thing, it's something that we think we have to do, but knowing the truth about the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus that happened 2,000 years ago through which your sins were taken away, knowing that truth, you can change your thinking and remember that God remembers your sins no more, and there's nothing to confess.
Yeah, something you mentioned in your post was if the blood of Jesus was only effective for 10,000 sins, but not 1 million of your sins, then we've got a problem. What would that say about the effectiveness of the blood of Jesus that was only shed once, if it had a limit? And so I think with that in mind, is there a cutoff point? Have I gone too far? That's always a question that pops into people's mind, especially those who have to keep going back to 1 John 1:9 every day or every week or however long, however often they want to do it, Joel, and you know, keep confessing. And they get this mindset that I'm just a sinner. I can't remember how many times I used to get up from trying to receive a brand new forgiveness from God. And I would think, yeah, I just proved it again. I'm just a sinner. And like I mentioned in my book, Joel, it wasn't just so much that I felt like I was doing a whole lot of bad things. It's that I wasn't doing enough of the right things. And this is where legalism comes in. And I saw somebody recently on social media, and I'm trying to keep my cool here. You know, they talk this grace game, and they kind of made the comment that we're out there advocating that people can just go out and do nothing and get away with it. I'm putting words in their mouth, but that's essentially what they were saying. And I think that's really a big problem, because that is so rooted in legalism. You know, there's a well-known grace author out there who shared their testimony in their books, talking about how they were just, you know, crying tears when they were coming to this crossroads where they were coming into grace. They hadn't reached it yet. But they were just so frustrated with themselves, because they would feel guilty. And I can relate to this. This is where I was going. I can relate to feeling like you're not doing enough of the right stuff. Even if you're not out there doing a bunch of bad things, mm-hmm. you'd feel like you're not doing enough of the right stuff. No matter how much you're doing, you will never be satisfied with it unless you are just rooted in legalism and self-righteousness and deceiving yourself into thinking that you're doing enough to make yourself acceptable to God, like the Pharisees, for example. And so I just want to point that out, that you can be living a life that's very godly in many ways, but if you're stuck in legalism, you'll start feeling like, I'm not doing enough of the right stuff. It's never enough. I'm not getting enough people saved. I'm not witnessing to enough people. I'm not giving enough money. I'm not volunteering enough time. I'm not this. I'm not that. And then you start feeling like you're back to being, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm not doing enough. It'll never be enough. And so you got to be careful about getting caught up in that trap in which the church world will lure you into.
Yeah, and that was a big part of my problem, too. In the legalistic church, I would hear all these, fiery sermons every week, in pumping you up, trying to pump you up into going out and taking the world on for Jesus, and just going out and doing all this wonderful stuff for God. And so I would get pumped up. It'd be Sunday morning. I'd be listening to the sermon going, yeah, I'm going to go out there and take the world for Christ, and come back Sunday evening and hear another good sermon. And then Monday morning, it was all gone. it was all like, okay, now it's time to go out into the world, and it's not there. Because I felt so horrible because I couldn't sustain that adrenaline rush. I couldn't sustain this idea that I was going to go out and do a whole bunch of stuff for God, and I felt horrible. I wasn't doing enough. All these things that I thought I could go out and do, I wasn't feeling it anymore. And that was a big part of my problem until I realized that it's not about all of that stuff. It's about what Jesus Christ has done. And knowing Him, when we get to know Him as our Father and as our friend and as our comforter and healer, and as the one who is at work in us. He's the one that's at work in us to will and to do according to His good pleasure. When we get to know Him that way, then we can sit back and relax and just go out and live life without the pressure of having to perform. Knowing that, yes, you can perform. Performance is not a bad word in and of itself. And good works, as we've talked about, is not a bad thing. But knowing that the pressure is off to have to go out and do stuff, and instead you can just be who you are and go out and live, and God is at work in you.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yep, you hit it on the head. And as we said before we came on and recorded, Joel, the sacrifice of Jesus, it was more than enough. It was sufficient. God was pleased with it. And if it was good enough for God, it should be good enough for us.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.